connected objects and more than 1 trillion sensors. Which means each human on Earth will can have 3 connected objects and more than 125 sensors for one human in Earth. And we have some innovative technologies. Par contre, on a un écho, je ne sais pas chez qui. C'est bon? Désolé. So we have some innovative technologies for radio frequency devices, like communication with, for example, some foldable smartphone with the Samsung Galaxy Fold for every human at 1,500 euros. We can also have some printed technology with the BMW bike, for example, with molded technologies. And finally, we have also some radio frequency devices for block or enhance electromagnetic signal. This is the frequency sensitive surface we can see here in a glass. We have also some innovative devices in Internet of Things or IoT with smart speakers or smartwatch. But also, since the last years, Pampers has commercialized some smart beeper to know our parents. They receive a notification when the baby has needs to be changed. So maybe it's too much, but it exists also. We can also have some new technologies with smart building for the networking, the world of sensors for temperature or pressure, for example, but also for domotics. And finally, for smart security, for the high value needs, as alcohol or perfume, but also to track some colis in the postal carriage. And for all of these applications, we have a solution, which is the printed radio frequencies devices for this innovative application. So we have some field which show an interest for these technologies, but we have also an interest in terms of research. So this is what we can see on this slide, with at the left a plot with the number of articles in the blue line and the number of patents in yellow column since the 70s.
Maxime, excuse-moi d'intervenir, mais on est plusieurs à ne voir que le premier slide.
Ah.
Vous êtes passé en diapo ou pas?
Ouais, on est en diapo.
Ben on voit pas. Est-ce que vous partagez bien? En fait, il faut partager tout votre écran, comme ça, et vous partagez pas. Sinon, ça y est, là, on a eu un changement.
Et moi, je vois même pas l'écran, mais bon, c'est peut-être si que moi.
Et partagez tout ton écran, en fait. Sinon, ça, quand tu lances le diaporama, on voit pas le défilement.
Et là, est-ce que vous voyez quand on switch les diapositives?
Ouais, c'est bon. Pour moi, c'est bon.
C'est bon. On reprend par rapport à quoi? Je suis super bien.
J'en étais à Yellow.
Ok, merci. Merci Pascal. So on this plot, at the left, with the number of articles in the red line, blue line, and the number of patents in the yellow column, since the 70s, we can see a growing interest for printed electronics since the beginning of this century. We attained a plate for the patent since 2010 with more than 2,000 patents per year. And the number of articles is still increasing at more than 1,000 for last year, for example. At the right, you can see here the market for the last year in terms of printed electronics. This market was dominated by the display with more than $30.8 billion. Following by sensor at almost $4 billion and the conductive inks for $2.3 billion. The total market for last year in printed electronics was $37.1 billion. So these both graphs show a growing interest for printed electronics with parallel evolution for innovative and flexible application. And if we looking for the future, we can see that the market will be estimated at more than 74 billion in the next decade. But what is exactly printed electronics? Printed electronics is composed of two words, printed and electronics. So printed is a reference to printing processes. The printing processes has been invented by Gutenberg in the 15th century in Germany for the development of some poem or Bible. We have since an evolution of process which are all well known today. On the other hand, we have the electronic with an important date in the electronic field with the transistor in 1947. The electronics follow a Moore law and more than Moore law, but the design is still limited on solid substrate. We can indeed see on this table the difference between conventional electronic and printed electronic for material, manufacturing technique and product future. The conventional electronic use material has silicon, ceramic, glass, which are all solid, while printed electronic use organic semiconductors, polymer or specialty inks, which can all be folded. In terms of manufacturing technique, conventional electronic can use both additive or subtractive technique, while printed electronics is more additive and can be used on several substrates as plastic, textile, paper or foil. At the end, the final product for conventional electronic is rigid, brittle, while printed electronics can be flexible and also robust. If we want to summarize what is printed electronics, we can say that is the printing method to create an electrical devices on various substrates using functional ink. So we have seen what is the printing electronics, the context and a definition about this process. And now we want to show you the variety of material and printing processes for radio frequency devices with the printing processes, the material, and what is an antenna. Then we will present some printing radio frequency devices designed at IMEPLAC with the previous PhD before a conclusion and prospect of the future. So let's go for material and process. What we can see is we have a lot of printing processes. A printing process, to remember, is a printed method to deposit a ink on a substrate. We can see on this plot, which is adapted from Kifan, we have several printing processes. They can be divided into two main categories, which are conventional printing and no-impact printing. So conventional printing uses commonly a frame and we have a physical contact between the ink, the printer, and the substrate. We can see here we have four main conventional printing, as screen printing, letterpress, lithography, and gravure, with some derivative process for example, letterpress and lithography, which are flexography and offset, respectively. We have, for all of this technique, the need of use a liquid ink for the deposition on the substrate. On the other side, we have the non-impact printing. There's a process have been developed with the evolution of technology and the needs of no contact between the substrate and the printer. We can see here various printing processes, as the most known is the inkjet, because we have all at home an inkjet printer for print our documents. We have also a derivative process in inkjet, which is continuous and random. For all of these process, we have some adaptation for the ink, which some panel, height needs to cause ink, but also some color sensitive coating for photography, for example. So we can see here various processes for printing technologies. And to limit the number of presentation, we will just focus at our both techniques, which are screen printing for me and jetting for Camille. So, I will present the screen printing processes. So, the screen printing processes is a conventional additive manufacturing, widely used in industrial industry for its scalability. The left, you have the shame for the functionment of screen printing. We have a screen with the design of the pattern. We can see here on the photography. We can deposit the paste on the screen, and we located the substrate below the screen with a snap-off between the screen and the substrate. Then we have a squeegee. We'll make a mechanical contact between the screen and the substrate on the second step. At the end, we can remove the substrate below the screen with the design printed, and we can add a new one for a new print. We can see on the right the photography of the screen printer used for my PhD with a screen frame here with some design of RFID tag and square pattern here. We have here the mechanical axis for the squeegee to control the pressure and the speed of the squeegee on the screen. The screen itself is important for the processes because, as you can see, it's composed of meshing in yellow, which are polyester meshing, and in green is a UV photopolymeric resin to obstruct the fluid we don't need to have the perfect design that we want. This frame is also dependent for the diameter of the fluid, which controls the layer width we want. So here we use a diameter of 34 micrometers, and we have also the density of 120 fluid per centimeter, which can control the layer thickness, with a range from 2 to 100 micrometers, and the layer width, which can down to 50 micrometers. For an indication, the snap-off, so the distance between the substrate and the screen, is about 1 millimeter. So, the screen printing is a process with industrial interest and high fidelity.
Now I will explain my printing technique, which is quite different than the screen printing. It's the jetting process. So here you can see the printing device. So first we have the ink in the syringe here with the air pressure. The air pressure is because the ink has a high viscosity. And then it helps to bring the ink to the nozzle. Then there is a tappet here that go up and down and will eject the ink. The needle lift is the amplitude of this tappet. This printing device is set on a robot arm. So it goes with speed. Which can be linear or angular, depending on what you want to print. There is a lot of parameters that can be computed with this printing device. So I will present you all the parameters. So you can compute the needle lift, so the amplitude of the tappet. After that, there is the first time is the time of rising. The time of rising is the time when the tappet go up. After that, there is the open time. It's the time the tappet stay in the up position. And then you can see that the ink can go in the cavity here and is bring to the nozzle. And then there is the falling time, which is very, very short compared to the other. It's less than 1 millisecond. It's 0.08, so it's really short. And it allows the jetting device to eject the drop of ink on the substrate. And after that, there is the delay. The delay is the time between two cycles. It's the higher one. You can see on the right here depending on the delay, you can have different patterns. So you can obtain only drop, so it can be handy for some applications. You can have a quite continuous one, or you can have a straight line, depending on the time, the delay time. The speed is always fixed to 35 millimeters per second. So in my thesis, there is two setups. The first one, it allows 2D and some 3D shape. So we can see that both of these setups has the Vermes jetting device, which I presented you in the last slide. And in the first one, we use a robot genome, which has four axes. So the X, Y, Z, and also there is a rotation one. This rotation axis allow us to print on some 3D shapes. So for example, we can print on cylinder thanks to this axis. So the second one, we'll use a stubby robot, which has six axes. So it can reach every point in his area. And it is really, you can print on every 3D shape. So it's more handy. For this presentation, I will present you only the work with the first setup. This is the characterization of the process. This was a major part of my thesis because the jetting process is really new. So we didn't have any data at the beginning. So I characterized the silver ink, and particularly the conductivity, which is 2.87 megasiemens per meter. And it is not dependent on the delay. So that's really important for us. Also, if you want quite straight line, so like we see here, we can have a line with a thickness of 25 micrometer and a width of 689 micrometer, which compared to the screen printing of Maxim, it is a bigger one. And we can also combine two lines if we want for some application have a bigger area, so it is possible, and we can combine as many lines as we want, so we can make ground plane, etc. with this technique. So the advantages of the jetting process is that we can print on 2D and 3D substrates. We don't need any chemical treatments. The process is really short because if you want to change the pattern, for example, you just have to compute on the robot. So it's really short compared to screen printing when you have to do a new screen, etc. And it is fast commissioning. So for example, if you go 3 weeks in vacation, the setup is ready when you come back, and you just have to start printing. It's really fast. So the challenges, the robustness substrate can be a challenge, but we have a high viscous ink, so it's not a big challenge for us. The main one is the environment dependency, because the ink behavior depends on the temperature. So if you print in summer, it can be different than when you print in winter. So here there is some issues. we speak about ink. So what is ink? Ink is composed of different material. First one is an active material. So for example, for your common printer, it is a pigment, and for us it will more be a silver particles, for example. It is composed also by a matrix, that allows the ink adhesion on the substrate. And it is also composed of solvents. These solvents guarantee a high colloidal stability and also the compatibility with the printing process. So these solvents would be different between Maxim techniques and mine, for example. So there is different ink for electronics. There is a semiconductor ink, dielectric ink, and conductive ink. We will focus only on conductive ink because this is the ink we use. In conductive ink, there is different also ink. So conductive polymers, the common one is the P-dot. The carbon particles that can be graphite, graphene, and nanotubes. And the silver particles, which depends on the shape of this particle. So it can be flakes, which is a big particles, nanowire, and nanoparticle, that is a small one. So the difference between this material is the sheet resistance. You can see that the carbon particles have a wide range of sheet resistance, but can be really resistive compared to P-dot, for example. In our studies, we will focus on silver particles because it's the best material to have a good conductivity. So the conductivity will depend on the conductive material we choose. So that's why we choose silver particles. But all this ink needs a post-treatment. So there is three main post-treatments. The first one is the sintering, which means the coalescence of particles into a solid by thermal energy. So this technique needs a very high temperature, so higher than 300 degrees Celsius. The second one is the annealing. It's like the same than sintering, but at lower temperature, 90 degrees. And the objective is to have the particle are in contact. So we have conductivity also quite good. And the last one is the curing, which means that we have chemical modification by polymerization of the ink. So UV curing is mainly used. The post-treatment that you will use depends on the ink you use. So here I will go more in details about coalescence of particles. We will take the particular case of nanoparticles because it's spherical, so it's easier to explain. So it will depend on the temperature. So here the first skin that you can see here, it's the sphere, the nanoparticle sphere, without any temperature. So you can see here on the the picture, all the sphere. Yeah. Then we will bring this sphere to 250 degrees Celsius, and you can see that the coalescence started. This is explained by the formation of neck here between two spheres. You can see here on the picture the neck that is between two particles. And after that, the silver particle, nanoparticle, is shown at 450 degrees Celsius. We can see that we have a lower resistivity and also a bigger block. So here, the neck is increasing between particles. So here we are in a sintering technique. For both our theses, we will only use annealing because of the low glass temperature of the substrate. So if we bring our plastic substrate to 200 degrees, we can have some mechanical consequence on our substrate. So there is different annealing processes. The first common one is the thermal curing. It's easy to implement because we only use oven. The equipment is cheap and the conductivity is good. The problem is that you bring the substrate and the ink at high temperature. So you don't have any localization of the heat. And also another problem is the time. It's an average of 30 minutes, so it can be too much for an industrial process, for example. The second one is the ohmic curing. So here you will bring a current inside the pattern that you printed, and with the current effect, you will bring it and then have a better conductivity. The time is really good. It's really short. It's easy to implement because we don't need we need only basic electrical equipment. But we also have a localized temperature. But this temperature must be very managed because it can be too high and can be destructive for the track. Also, it is only possible to print to cure on the line shape. If you have a ground plane, for example, it will go in straight line and it will not cure all the plane. The third one is the infrared curing. The time is really good, the conductivity also, and the temperature is localized only in the ink because of the wavelengths. The challenge is the equipment is quite expensive. The photonic curing is quite the same than infrared, but the equipment is more expensive than infrared. For both our theses, we will only use thermal annealing.
So now we have seen what is the printing processes, what is the functional ink we can use, and the post-treatment which use is annealing, but we want to see what is the printed radio frequency devices, and more especially what is an antenna. So the term antennas has well been defined by IFRISA standards and definition as an interface between both guide and free space media, which means this is an interface between an electrical power and an electromagnetic signal. If we are in the perfect media and in the perfect world, we have same radiation of the antenna, anisotropic radiation, in all directions with the same power. This is what is it represented in the left. But we are not in a perfect media and in a perfect world, so we have some losses and privileged direction. So we have some radiation pattern with a different shape as the radiation pattern for a dipole antenna here, for example. These losses can be caused by some mismatch in the free space media, but also with the adaptation of the antenna. Indeed, the adaptation of the antenna is its ability to successfully convert the radio frequency signal emitted by a generator for a fading line to the space media of the antenna. If the adaptation is fully success, then the antenna will transmit all the power towards the space media and another antenna. If it's not the case, we have the second case, A and B, with the power which can be re-emitted towards the generator and cause some damage in electronics. Antennas are a wide application and field, and we have some different type of antennas, as dipole antennas, microstrip antennas with a patch, key, and the feeding line and the ground plane, which can be located below the substrate or near the feeding line. And then we have also the array antennas with big application, which are the TV broadcast. So we see what is an antenna and the printing processes. So now we want to try to combine them in the printing radio frequencies devices. This is what is represented on this slide with a plot of the number of articles barrier from IFRISA Explore database with the keywords antenna and printing. What we can see on this plot is a starting interest of this field in 2010 with more than 150 papers for last year, but in regards of all papers in radio frequencies field, it's still a niche. And we can have several printed radio frequencies devices, so the antenna, which are the common one, but also some frequency selective surface as present in the context to improve or block electromagnetic signal in a room, what we want, but also some soft for temperature or pressure, and some transmission line. So we see what is the material we need, the processes, and the application which are the antennas. Now we will present you some previous PhD realized at the IMEBLAC for the printed radio frequencies devices. As you can see here, we have already 7 PhD in the lab. We have a link with printed radio frequencies devices. It starts in 2014 with Ines.
So Ines worked on the conception of printing device for energy harvesting. She printed antennas for energy harvesting on paperboards by using flexography, which is one of the printing of printing techniques. And she also printed antenna on polyester flexible by screen printing. So you can see here two of her prototypes, one on the paperboard, and the other one is a rectenna on a polymer polyester flexible. She studied the impact of the folded antenna on RF properties, and she also studied the impact of the substrate curvature on the RF properties. Alejandro worked on printed devices for filtering electromagnetic waves, so he produced some FSS, frequency selective surfaces, that allow filtering some wavelengths. So for example, you can see here to filter the wavelengths of Wi-Fi. And also to improve the transmission, so he presented with screen printing, which is the other prototype here. Also, Alejandro take part to he fabricated a new setup for an echoic chamber, and particularly to allow us to measure this type of FSS.
Then we have Nan, which has working on a printed flexible antenna for energy harvesting by a foldable dipole and coplanar antenna. All these antennas have been printed on a polymeric substrate, so the polyethylene terephthalate, PET, by screen printing. We can see here a coplanar antenna in a linear plane and with folding. And this experiment has also developed some rectifier foldable antenna for median harvested power range for 13 to 121 nanowatts. Madame Fan then has developed some design of 2D and 3D antenna and flexible substrate for packaging and home networking devices and a paper substrate by screen printing. You can see here a type of wideband antenna with the connector which has been developed during her PhD, and a binding antenna for also designed during her PhD. So she has developed a database for several paper substrate characterization in radio frequencies and have demonstrated the influence of bending effect on the properties dependent of the bending location and bending angle, which can be very useful for some home networking devices.
Erika didn't work directly on printing the printed devices, but she used it for energy harvesting, particularly for her folded antenna, because she miniaturized it, so she needed to fold it, and then it was it was easier to use screen putting and use it with C-Rank. So she compared antenna printed and antenna copper and tried to improve the pattern with C-Rank. So now we are working directly on printed electronic with Maxim. My project is the MIN project, and the name of my thesis is 3D printed electronic for molded interconnected devices dedicated to Internet of Things applications. And the project of Maxim is the e-transparent project. So the name is development of innovative and transparent radio frequency devices based on nanosilicon silver nanowires hybrid system. So we will present briefly our two projects. So first, my project is how can we integrate easily RF devices on 2D or 3D plastic parts without modifying these plastic parts. So it can be a common object that we use every day. So the major part of my project is the process characterization. So as I said, it's a new one, so we need all the data to know what we can do with that. So a geometric analysis, electric analysis, electromagnetic, and with all these things we can simulate the device, and then we start to print innovative device, so antenna, frequency selective surface but on 3D, and energy harvesting. So in this presentation I will only present you one of the application is the LoRa antenna. So here you can see it's a tracker. It is used to know the position of someone, for example, in some dangerous country. It's a way to have help or to find an object. So here in this tracker, you have an antenna which is a LoRa and GPS antenna with two frequencies. And here there is also a Wi-Fi antenna. The objective of this application is to move this antenna from the substrate here to the case for the miniaturization of the tracker, cost reductions. And we can also improve the Wi-Fi antenna because we have more space for the Wi-Fi antenna. And also we can try to improve the LoRa antenna. So for that, we've done this experiment. So here, this is the original antenna with this, on this plot, you can see the scatter parameter when we can see the two frequency, the LoRa frequency here and the GPS frequency. So first we just print the antenna with silver ink, but without changing the substrate. We are on FR4 to see the impact of the changing the material of the antenna. So we can see that because of the less conductive material, we have a less deep peak valley here. And after that, we print directly with silver ink and the antenna on plastic substrate. And we can see the consequences. It's an offset of the frequency. This is due to the permittivity and the loss that are different to FR4. But we can change that and move by changing the dimension of the antenna and have the same performance than the original one and a deeper valley also. So this is better. So This was presented in APS last year, and this application is the validation of jetting process to move the antenna on the case without a loss of performance for the antenna.
So now we have seen what is the CAMI project, and now we will see what is my project, so the e-transparent project or ETC project. So my project is between two laboratories, the MEBLAC for the radio frequencies field and the LGP2 for the part, the material part. So my project is to design a transparent and foldable printed antenna by screen printing. So we have two ways. The first one is the design for transparent antenna using the simulation, substrate characterization and antenna characterization to obtain some design transparent antenna. In the second way, we have also chemical work for the formulation of transparent and conductive ink using an hybrid system composed of silver nanowire and nanocellulose. Then we have to optimize this system for printing characterization before an optimization on, of optoelectrical properties. And the aim is to combine them to obtain a transparent radio frequencies devices. So now I will present you some resume for the design of transparent antenna. So as we can see here, we have some antenna with meshing, and this is the approach that we want. Indeed, we want to develop transparent printed antenna using a meshing technique without affecting properties. The meshing technique is consists to removing metallic parts to full pattern to let light pass through as a meshing pattern here at the right. This concept has been firstly introduced in 1991 by Itu and Wu. And for this project, we use two models of antenna, the coplanar waveguide antenna at 4.6 GHz here, and a dipole antenna at 2.45 GHz. Here, I will present you some results for the meshing results for the dipole antenna. So we start with a reference antenna no meshing, which has been printed in normal size and miniaturized. And here we have the adaptation, so the return loss in dBi given for the frequencies for the both simulation and measurement for both sides. What we can see is we have an accordance, an agreement of the measurement and the simulation between for both height and small size. We have also meshing this model of antenna for both sides with a square meshing, diamond meshing, hexagonal or honeycomb meshing, and circle meshing. And the result in terms of realized gain and adaptation have shown that square and honeycomb show a good result and a good adaptation versus the simulation. But the diamond and circle are, however, from an experimental measurement lower than the expected simulation. And for that, we have checked the design and the printed design, and we saw some mismatch in the printing due to the printing processes during the printing. We have also notified a high transparency for the meshing antenna with optical transparency which can up to 78%, and the conservation of radio frequency properties again one for square and on meshing. These results have been published last year in the European Microwave Week. And now we have seen what is how we can design a transparent antenna. So I will introduce you some transparent and conductive ink formulation. So this part is the part more materials, and we can work on the development of transparent and conductive ink for radio frequencies application by screen printing. For that, we have defined a requirement with the conductive ink, which present a lower sheet resistance up to 2 ohms squared. On the left, you can see a plot of optical transparency as a function of the sheet resistance for some reference for transparent ink by screen printing. And we can see we have a lot of sheet resistance range from 0 to 50 ohm square with 2 above this value, but the transparency is more heterogeneous between from 14 to 19%. But all these results are in, as a function of the thickness deposited, the material used in the ink. So in 1973, Hack has developed a figure of merit, so the Hack law, with the formula is given in the middle of the slide, which combines the transparency and the sheet resistance to classify the database what we can have. And we have so this new plot with the figure of merit as a function of the optical transparencies. And what we can see is we have good properties for the number 3, so Zuehal, published last year. But as you can see, we have only 10 references for each plot, which means we have very few references for the development of conductive and transparent ink for screen printing. To combine to attain this objective of superconductive ink, I have also some requirements in terms of raw material, so a conductive material, which are the silver nanowire we bought in isopropanol, and each silver nanowire are characterized by a ratio between the length and the diameter. Higher will be this ratio, higher will be the conductivity of the silver nanowire. They have widely used also for transparent and high conductivity application. We also use nanocellulose as a raw material bio-based, and more specifically the cellulose nanofibril with chemical oxidation by the Tempo, which is an oxidant. The nanocellulose presents here 4 roles. The first one is to create a transparent matrix to help the transparency. Then the nanocellulose can also adapt the rheological properties of the ink to the screen printing processes. The nanocellulose play also a role to promote the adhesion of silver nanowire on the substrate and to disperse them inside the matrix. The combination of conductive material and nanocellulose have already been done in a previous thesis in the LGP2 to create a nanocellulose silver nanowire film with a high transparency, so up to 75%, but the sheet resistance is higher at almost 15 ohm square. This is too high for our application, so we decided from a PhD to add an additive material, so spherical nanoparticle with a diameter of 500 nanometers, which have 2 presumed roles. The first one is to help nanocellulose to disperse silver nanowire inside the matrix by a van der Waals interaction, but also to decrease the percolation threshold of the silver nanowire, so to decrease the concentration of silver nanowire for the same conductivity properties, and finally to decrease the visibility of this network. This slide resumes the improvement of conductivity with the addition of this additive material. So you can see on this slide and table, the optimum system based on nanocellulose silver nanowire at the left column, and when we had this additive material at the right of this table. We have some microscopical images, so with the FEG SEM, and we can see in both cases a high density network of silver nanowire with an addition of a spherical nanoparticle in the second case. The HFM show the localization of the spherical nanoparticle around the silver nanowire in the second case. But the most important is the transparency and sheet resistance measure for both cases. In the case with only nanocellulose and silver nanowire, we can reach an optical transparency of 81% for a sheet resistance of almost 50 ohms square. This is high. When we add the spherical nanoparticle, we decrease the optical transparency from 91% to 73%, so we demand minus 8%, but the sheet resistance decreases also from 48 to only 8 ohms square. So we have a height decrease of the sheet resistance, so a higher conductivity for a low impact of transparency. And what we think is an improvement of conductivity due to the improvement of organization inside the silver nanowire network. The results have been published last year for a conference in Hebnoe, which is a conference on polysaccharide materials. And we want to improve async. So traditionally, an ink is composed of a percent of saline content. And so we have 5% of saline content in this ink with a majority of HPMC, so hydropropoxymated cellulose, rheological binder, and only 13% of these active materials. Due to this, we want to design an experiment with a ternary diagram to improve the conductivity of the ink. You can see the ternary diagram with the height majority is locked because due to the high amount of HPMC, and we make some experiments in the free area here, and we have made a zoom with the result on the plot on the right. So this plot represents the hack figure of merit, where the formula is the remainder at the here, and has a function of the optical transparency. And what we can see is the formula 2 shows the highest figure of merit between the 5 formula, with a sheet resistance of only 5 ohms square, more or less 3 ohms square. So the formula number 2 is the best trade-off between transparencies and conductivity. The result has then been printed for a dipole antenna, so we can see here on the images the antenna, the printed antenna with this ink, and we measure the adaptation, so the return loss of this antenna according to the frequency, and comparison to the simulation. We can see we have the same adaptation with lower adaptation for the measurement compared to the simulation. We have also located this antenna in an echo chamber to measure the realized gain. So we have here the radiation pattern of this antenna with in orange the simulation and in red the measurement. We can see the pattern is not exactly the same, and we have some experiment and work to better understand why we have this. But we can see we have the same directivity for the antenna with a relative measure gain of 0.02 dBi for the simulation of 0.3 dBi. And then we can say we have a proof of concept, and the measure gain is in agreement with simulation in regards of the incertitude due to the value. Finally, we decide to check our work in regard of bibliography. So this is the same plot from the beginning with the optical transparency as a function of the sheet resistance and the Hack figure merit in function of the optical transparency. But we had our work in both plots. And we can see on the plot at the left, we are not the best in terms of transparencies. We have three articles higher than us, but when we use the Hack formula, we see we are higher than anyone except the 8, but it's a special case, so for the moment we demonstrated the high interest to add this spherical nanoparticle in the formulation. So we have still some work to progress, with the investigation on the type of bond between spherical nanoparticle and silver nanowire, this mechanical contact or on device interaction, for example, and we want to follow the formulation with other oxide and diameter to have a better understand of this phenomena. We also check the influence of the concentration of spherical nanoparticles with a new grad of bending agent to offer a new reason of formulation and to see if we can also improve this trade-off between transparency and conductivity. Now we make the conclusion and the perspective for this presentation.
So we saw that printed electronics is an innovative solution for flexible applications. We also saw that there is a lot of different processes and depending of various parameters. We saw that depending on the material of the ink, the conductivity will depend on that. For both our projects, we use silver ink, but post-treatment is mandatory to improve the conductivity. We also see that printed process applied to RF devices has a growing interest in our field. And also, in MEPLAC, we have a long storyboard of printing the radio frequency research. And we are now two PhD students working on this printing techniques. So the MIN project and the ET project. So you can see that the antenna is really transparent here because we don't see it.
And so we have still work to do, so some innovative way for Internet of Things, smart packaging or smart building. We have also to improve the 3D printing processes to improve the feasibility of some devices and to enhance for the transparency application the trade-off between transparency and conductivity. But we want also to see with you, we have also we can also use printing processes for other team at MEPLAC. So we can see in literature the inject transistor for example, CMNE, or some optoelectronic sensor for photo team, for example. We would say thank you for your attention, and we will answer all your questions you want. Thank you.
Thank you.